Who is Esau Edom? Written by Charles Weissman. Read for you by Paul Maitrejane. This is a free tearingdownidols.com audiobook. Reproduction and redistribution are encouraged. For more free reading and listening material, please visit tearingdownidols.com. Chapter 4. The Ancient High Places. There are many references to the ancient high places in the Old Testament. The high places were sites of prominence in the land, such as centers of worship, places of sacrifice, offerings and prayer, and sanctuaries. 1 Samuel 9, verses 12 through 14, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 39, 1 Kings 3, verses 2 through 4, Isaiah 16, verse 12, Leviticus 26, verse 30 and 31, Amos 7, verse 9. Jerusalem was a high place, Micah 1, verse 5, as was Gibeon, 1 Chronicles 21, verse 29. These high places in Palestine were thus the center of attention and the most important areas of the land. While these places were the center of attention during biblical times, the events surrounding the Jewish occupation of Palestine has apparently led many to believe they are still relevant today, as in the days of old. How does the Jewish occupation of Palestine help in the identification of Esau Edom? Let's reflect upon the biblical maxim that what is popular among men is not representative of the ways of God. The common or popular doctrine among men is that the Jews are Israelites, and as such, they must return to Palestine to fulfill Bible prophecy. This erroneous concept has become known as Zionism, which has developed into a political movement for the benefit of the Jew. Although the term Zionism is derived from the biblical word Zion, we must distinguish between what the Bible says about Zion and the concept of political Zionism. The Bible and Zion. Zion, or Mount Zion, was the highest of several hills on which Jerusalem was built, and thus represents the greatness and majesty of Jerusalem. Zion was originally a Jebusite stronghold which David had captured, and thus called the City of David. 2 Samuel 5, verse 7, 1 Chronicles 11, verse 5. It was here at Mount Zion that David brought the Ark of God, 2 Samuel 6, verses 12 through 18. Zion was the seat of David's rule. It was where his house or palace was erected, and where the tabernacle was first set up. Zion thus became a sacred site, and regarded by God as my holy hill of Zion, Psalm 2, verse 6, and called it Zion, my holy mountain, Joel 3, verse 17. The gates of Zion were loved by God more than all others in Israel, Psalm 87, verse 2, and it is the place where God dwells, Psalm 9, verse 11, Psalm 68, verse 16, Psalm 132, verse 13, Joel 3, verses 17 and 21. Zion was thus the highest and most sacred of the ancient high places. Prophetic Zion. The term Zion is frequently used as the title for Jerusalem as a whole in its quality as a holy city, Isaiah 8, verse 18, 10, verse 24, 30, verse 19, Psalm 48, verse 2, and verses 11 through 12. In Isaiah 52, verse 1, Zion is used in a prophetic sense and is compared to the New Jerusalem of Revelation 21, verses 2 and 27, as the beautiful city in which the unclean and ungodly are not allowed to enter. It is in the land of this prophetic Zion or Jerusalem which God has promised to gather together his people Israel. I will take you, Israel, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Jeremiah 3, verse 14. The location of Zion. But the Zion, or Jerusalem of prophecy, was also to be in captivity, Isaiah 52, verse 2. It was to be in pain and trouble, and thus needing to be delivered, or redeemed from the hands of its enemies. Micah 4, verses 9 through 10. This Zion is thus not some heavenly abode or spiritual city. It is to be a physical place on earth. An indication of where this gathering of the Israel people would be was revealed in a prophetic promise to David, where God said, "Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more." 2 Samuel 7, verse 10, and also 1 Chronicles 17, verse 9. Note that this planting of Israel is something God will do, not has done. And where was David when these words were spoken to him? He was sitting in Mount Zion of Jerusalem. Thus, God was clearly not referring to that geographical area as the land he would plant Israel. God said he was going to plant Israel in another place, and was not going to bring them back to the ancient high places in Palestine, for once they were planted in this new place, they were to move no more. Based upon the biblical identification of the white European people as being God's true and literal Israel people, the nation of America has often been recognized as this Zion of prophecy, or the New Jerusalem. The biblical proofs are overwhelmingly in favor of America, and not Palestine, as this Zion where Israel is to be placed or gathered. The following are some of these proofs. Point. The land Israel was to be gathered into is described as a wilderness, or an undeveloped land, but with their arrival it shall blossom abundantly, as God gives it vineyards or abundance. Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 2, Hosea 2, verses 14 through 15. Palestine was never a wilderness, and it never blossomed abundantly. God was to make Zion's wilderness like Eden, Isaiah 51, verse 3. This is exactly what happened in America, which had attained great material blessings and the highest living standards. Point. Zion was to be a land from sea to sea, Zechariah 9, verse 10, Psalm 72, verse 8. America is bordered by two great seas, or oceans. Palestine is not. Point. In the land where God shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth, Jesus Christ was to be set up as an ensign for God's people, Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 12. In the state of Israeli, even the mention of Jesus Christ is prohibited. America is the only nation that was ever legally established as a Christian nation. Point. Israel's restoration was to take place in a land afar, or very far off, where they would look upon Zion, Isaiah 33, verses 13 through 20, and Jeremiah 30, verse 10. Since this was spoken in Palestine, it could not include Palestine. Point. Zion was to be bountiful in produce and resources, as indicated by its wheat, oil, flocks, herds, corn, and a land as a watered garden, Jeremiah 31, verse 12, Joel 2, verses 15 through 19, and verses 23 through 26. This is unmistakably a prophetic description of America. Palestine is rather barren in such resources. Point. The New Jerusalem was to be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein, Zechariah 2, verse 4. Old Palestine is full of walled cities. Point. The New Jerusalem was to be a very large land, as indicated by the need for the angel to measure it, with its length and width being 12,000 furlongs, Zechariah 2, verses 1 through 2, Revelation 21, verses 15 through 16. This could hardly be referring to Little Palestine. There are many other earmarks of the Zion of Prophecy, or New Jerusalem, in the Bible, which indicate it was not to be in the ancient land of Palestine. But all such signs do fit America. Thus, Not all prophecy regarding Zion or Jerusalem are in reference to the old land of Palestine, nor are they referring to a heavenly plain, but, like the old Zion and Jerusalem, are earthly and physical. Only America fits the Zion of Bible prophecy. So what is all the commotion and fuss for having Jews in Palestine? To answer this, we need to understand what is Zionism, and who is behind it, and why. Political Zionism. Zionism has its roots in a Jewish messianic movement that seeks to establish an independent Jewish state, through which their Messiah, the Jewish people as a whole, could rule the world. The place that they decided to occupy was Old Palestine. The modern term Zionism first appeared at the end of the 19th century, denoting the movement whose goal was the return of the Jewish people to Erez Israel, Palestine. It was coined by Nathan Birnbaum, a Jew, April 1, 1890. Footnote: Encyclopedia Judaica, Volume 16, 1971, page 1032. End footnote. The term Zionism, as used by Birnbaum, was intended to express a political orientation toward Palestine, as he spoke of a, quote, national political Zionist party, end quote. This concept was different from the prevailing philanthropic approach. Before this time, it was thought practical that the Jews, being a scattered and integrated people, should have a homeland of their own, and humanitarian pleas were made in this regard. Even some theologians started supporting the idea as being a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. The true transition of Zionism from its practical and philanthropic aspect to its political and military objectives clearly developed with the efforts of the Jewish Zionist leader, Theodor Herzl. Herzl argued that, quote, the Jews of Western Europe, even after receiving equal rights, had been unable to assimilate, end quote, and still comprised a, quote, nation within a nation, end quote. Herzl warned that the Jews would be pushed into the arms of the socialist revolution, and the stability of the present order would be severely undermined. It was therefore incumbent upon the states of Europe to assist in establishing a Jewish state and assuring it of international legitimation. Footnote: Encyclopedia of Jewish History, Masada Publishers, Israel, 1986, page 120. End footnote. In response to the Jewish Zionist efforts, there was an, quote, offer made by the British government in 1903 for a Jewish self-governing establishment in Uganda, East Africa, end quote. Footnote: The International Jewish Encyclopedia, edited by Rabbi Ben Isaacson, Prentice Hall, New Jersey, 1973, page 142, end footnote. The Zionists look back at this measure as one which nearly wrecked the Zionist movement. Footnote: The International Jewish Encyclopedia. End footnote. In another endeavor to appease the Zionists, quote, the British colonial secretary agreed to give the Jews the British-held Sinai Peninsula, the El Arish Project, but this too came to naught. End quote. Footnote: Encyclopedia of Jewish History, page 120, note 5. End footnote. A plan to make Madagascar a Jewish nation also generated no Jewish interest. Clearly, not all Jews were in favor of the Zionist plans, as they viewed Herzl as, quote, somewhat deranged, end quote. Leading rabbis feared that Herzl's ideas would provoke, quote, a new wave of anti-Semitism, end quote. They denounced the Jewish state concept in pamphlets and at conferences. Footnote: Encyclopedia of Jewish History. End footnote. Likewise, when Napoleon, years earlier, gave invitation to the Jews to settle in Jerusalem under his aegis, it aroused no interest among the Jews. Footnote: The Jewish Encyclopedia, Funk and Wagnalls, Volume 12, 1905, page 668. End footnote. Why, then, were the leaders of the Zionist movement insistent upon a Jewish state in Palestine and nowhere else? If half of Europe would have been offered to these Zionists, they would still rather have the small, barren land of Palestine. Why? It is partly because the Jews are incapable of existing on their own, but in Palestine, they could draw Christian support as God's chosen people, returning to Zion. There clearly would be great political and financial leverage to be had by possessing the ancient high places of the true Israel people. The leaders of Edom did have a plan. Now at the turn of the century, the time was right for a change. A great and significant scene was about to unfold on center stage that was to be in line with God's script, and the Zionist Jews were characters in that script, acting out the role of Esau, not Jacob. World War I and the Balfour Declaration. The area of Palestine had been under the control and rule of Turkey, or its Ottoman Empire, which had existed since 1299 AD. In 1882, Edmund Rothschild, a Jew, began financing a Jewish society which attempted the emigration of, quote, a considerable number of Jewish settlers, end quote, in Palestine, quote, prompting the Turkish authorities immediately to publish orders to forbid further entry, end quote. Footnote, Encyclopedia Judaica, 1971, Volume 16, page 1039, end footnote. On May 17, 1901, Herzl met with the Turkish Sultan regarding Zionists' plans and terms for a Jewish national home in Palestine. Herzl immediately went to London, quote, where he spoke with much confidence of the success of his mission with the Sultan and asked the Jewish people for £1,500,000 for the purpose of obtaining the charter. But the Jewish people kept silent, end quote. Footnote, the Jewish Encyclopedia, 1905, Volume 12, page 676, end footnote. Although the Jewish population in general had no interest in settling in Palestine, the Zionists persisted. To establish their political goals, the Zionists needed a political change in the Palestinian territory, and there is nothing that can cause political change more assuredly than war. The international Zionists, bankers, and plutocrats thus instigated the Balkan War, 1912 to 1913, which brought a revolt against Turkey, weakening it and causing it to lose some of its territory. The Balkan crisis was like a powder keg in the European arena, and its repercussions helped to precipitate World War I on July 28, 1914. It was necessary to bring Turkey in on the side of Germany and the Central Powers, because the Zionists knew that, quote, an Allied victory was expected to result in major territorial changes in the Ottoman Empire, of which Palestine was a part, end quote. Footnote, Encyclopedia of Zionism and Israel, edited by Raphael Patai, McGraw-Hill, New York, 1971, Volume 1, page 103, end footnote. On Turkey's entry into the war, arch-Zionist and Jew Chaim Weizmann commenced a political campaign on behalf of Zionism. During this period, 1915, Weizmann met with Britain's first Lord of the Admiralty, Arthur Balfour, explaining to him the historical roots of Zionism. Balfour was willing to help promote the idea of restoring the Jewish homeland in Palestine if it was liberated from the Turks. Footnote, Joan Komar, Who's Who in Jewish History, 1974, page 73, end footnote. The following year, 1916, quote, several developments that greatly advanced the cause of Zionism took place, end quote. There was a strange cabinet crisis in December 1916, after which, quote, Lloyd George became prime minister and Arthur Balfour foreign minister. Both these men and some of their immediate subordinates were outspoken supporters of Zionist aspirations, end quote. Footnote, Encyclopedia of Zionism and Israel, Volume 1, page 104, end footnote. With pro-Zionist individuals now controlling British affairs, it was essential that Britain prevailed in the war so Turkey could be conquered and its Ottoman Empire overthrown. The international Zionists agreed to bring the United States into the war to help bail out Britain. With the advice of his, quote, intimate advisor, end quote, Zionist agent Colonel Edward M. House, Woodrow Wilson brought the U.S. into the war in April 1917. The British forces took possession of Palestine from the Turks in 1917. Though the war persisted, the Zionists were pressuring the British to formally issue a declaration that stated Great Britain favored, quote, the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people, end quote. On July 18, 1917, Lord Lionel Walter Rothschild submitted a draft declaration to Balfour, expressing to him what the Zionists wanted. Later, Balfour addressed the British War Cabinet on the matter, quote, and at that meeting the declaration was adopted. 2 days later, on November 2, 1917, Lord Balfour wrote a letter to Lionel Rothschild, enclosing a copy of the declaration and requesting him to communicate it to the Zionist Federation, end quote. Footnote, Encyclopedia of Zionism and Israel, Volume 1, page 106, end footnote. This became known as the Balfour Declaration. To assure that Palestine would be in Zionist control, British forces were ordered to enter and occupy Jerusalem in December 1917. The highest of the ancient high places was now secure for Jews to emigrate into and occupy. With the Balfour Declaration, which assured a Jewish national home in Palestine under Britain as the protecting power, many Jews now for the first time gave their support to the World Zionist Organization. At the conclusion of the war, the British received Palestine as a mandate under the League of Nations, with the understanding that the Jewish people would be encouraged to settle there. But the discontent of the Arabs, who desired self-government and resented the immigration of Jews, led to constant turmoil. Footnote, Wallace Ferguson, A Survey of European Civilization, 1962, page 861, end footnote. The Zionist plan was being threatened with the sympathy and support the Arabs had in Europe. Further, a spirit of nationalism was spreading through the Arabian world. Another dramatic scene was about to be acted out on center stage. Another political change was needed. The UN Partition Plan. Palestine had been occupied and ruled by the Arabs ever since the Muslim forces conquered it in 637 AD. The act of establishing a national home for one group of people in an occupied area such as this, quote, was an unprecedented innovation in international law, end quote. Footnote, The Universal Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 2, 1940, page 46, end footnote. The Zionists faced the burden of convincing the world that the Jews should be given the right to occupy Palestine. Quote, since this country already had a population which had been there for centuries, 1,300 years, it could not be simply handed over to the Jewish people. End quote. Footnote, The Universal Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 2, 1940, page 46. End footnote. The British government made several unsuccessful attempts to quiet Arab feelings of hostility to the Zionist plans. Since the Balfour Declaration guarded the rights of the Arab population, quote, no definite conclusions could be arrived at, end quote. Another political change was needed, such as that only a war can bring. With Franklin D. Roosevelt and Winston Churchill willing partners of the Zionist, it took little effort to bring America and Britain into World War II. The aftermath of the war allowed the Jewish Zionists to establish their international organization called the United Nations on October 24, 1945. In 1947, the British gave up their Palestine mandate and placed the Palestine problem in the hands of the Zionist-created, communist-controlled United Nations. The General Assembly approved plans to place Jerusalem under international control and to partition Palestine into separate Arab and Jewish states. With the boundary lines drawn in Palestine according to the Zionist partition plan, a Jewish state in Palestine was established with the backing of the United Nations. On May 14, 1948, the Jewish state proclaimed its independence under its president, Chaim Weizmann, and Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion. The Jewish author Arthur Kessler states that the right of the State of Israel to exist is not based on the origins of the Jewish people as being Israel, nor on the covenant of Abraham with God. Rather, quote, it is based on international law, i.e., on the United Nations decision in 1947 to partition Palestine, end quote. Footnote, Arthur Kessler, The 13th Tribe, page 223, end footnote. The Jews have not possessed the land according to biblical requirements surrounding Zion. The Israeli state was founded upon a systematic program of violence, deceit, murder, and war instigated by the Jews, and this fact alone should dismiss the idea that they are Israel coming to Zion. Zionism is part of a program for the political conquest of the world, the UN being its chief instrument or supergovernment, as mentioned in the protocols. The possessing of the ancient lands and holy places of Israel is only a ruse, so the Zionist Jews can sucker the gullible Christians into supporting them as being God's chosen people, fulfilling prophecy. Meanwhile, Zionists are free to terrorize, murder, sabotage, spy, and get billions in free aid. But let's see what God's script says regarding this ancient land his people once inhabited. Palestine in prophecy. We have seen that the Bible speaks of the Israel people going to a new Jerusalem or Zion, which is in a new land. As for the story regarding their ancient land, its use by God's people was to come to an end. Thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, an end, the end, is come upon the four corners of the land. And I will give it into the hands of the strangers for a prey, and to the wicked of the earth for a spoil, and they shall pollute it. Wherefore I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their, Israel's, houses. I will also make the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Ezekiel 7, verses 2, 21, and 24. This prophecy was given to Ezekiel about 586 BC. From that time on, the land was destined to be in the possession of the stranger, or alien, not Israel. Many non-Israelite people have occupied Palestine, and now the Jews, the worst of the heathen, possess it. And by their acts of terrorism and filthy religion, they have polluted the land and have defiled the ancient holy places. Thus, the Jews cannot be Israel. Why then were the Jews the ones destined to occupy the ancient lands of God's people Israel? Because it is written in God's script. They are actually following the role of Edom, who was to gain possession of this area. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy, Edomia, hath said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, and against all Edomia, which have appointed my land into their possession, with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds, to cast it out for a prey. Ezekiel 36, verses 2 and 5. According to this prophecy, there would be a time that the enemy of Israel would say in contempt and ridicule to Israel, we have the ancient high places in our possession. Verse 5 identifies that God is speaking here against all Edomia, which is Edom. There thus would be a time when Edom would possess the ancient lands of Israel. While Edom occupied parts of Judea at one time, they never had possession of this land at any time in biblical history. If Palestine was destined to be possessed by Edom, then the Jews must be Edom, and through their Zionist plans are fulfilling prophecy about Edom, not about Israel. The Zionist Jews have hidden their Edomite identity and true role in Palestine by claiming they are Israel returning to Zion. However, the prophecies concerning Zion and New Jerusalem had already been fulfilled in America even before the word Zionism was coined by the Jews in 1890. The Jews are fulfilling prophecy in Palestine, but it is the role of Esau Edom they are acting out, not that of Jacob Israel. As Edom, the Jews' actions in the entire Zionist movement, whether knowingly or not, was to possess the land God gave up to the heathen. Preachers continue to harp on the subject matter of the Jews in Palestine, despite the fact that God had said he would abandon that land and would do to Jerusalem, quote, as I have done to Shiloh, end quote. Jeremiah 7, verse 14. God forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh. Psalm 78, verse 60. With the Babylonian captivity of Jerusalem and the destruction of the Temple of Solomon in 586 BC, God had forsaken the old city of Jerusalem and will never rebuild his temple there. I will make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city, Jerusalem, a curse to all the nations of the earth. Jeremiah 26, verse 6. See also verse 9. Jeremiah was nearly put to death for giving this revelation of God against Jerusalem. Christ also said Jerusalem was to be left desolate. Matthew 23, verses 37 through 39. God has thus abandoned the ancient high places in old Palestine. When Israel inhabited the land, it was described as a land flowing with milk and honey, Exodus 3, verse 8 and 17, Leviticus 20, verse 24. Ancient history identifies this land as being rich and fertile, and as part of the Fertile Crescent. Look at it today. It is a wasteland, barren and desert-like. No significant lifestyle could be maintained on this land as in the days of old. Only by massive and continued infusions of money, aid, and technology from the Christian West are the Jews able to survive. What greater evidence need there be to prove this is not the great and beautiful Zion of prophecy? Thus, the actions on the part of the Jews, such as the rebuilding of Solomon's temple, or bringing in Jewish immigrants from all parts of the world, have no relevance to Israel and their role in prophecy in Scripture.